BBC Radio Solent Sport.
The Non-League Show with Cliff Pledge.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Non-League Show. I'm Cliff Pledge. The show this week comes from the studio, though I have been out and about at Bashley today for their derby match with AFC Tottenham. On the show, we'll also find out which of our sides scored six today and hear a little bit about the stadium plans for Weymouth and some of the trouble they had with their existing stadium this afternoon. Well, the whole world, it seems, went bashly crazy due to them getting their first point in midweek of the entire season. They had a derby match with AFC Tottenham today, although the bad news for the Stags was the goalkeeper Joe Prodomo, the manager's brother, who'd come in for his first appearance of the season and kept a clean sheet, would be injured. And that meant that Joe Coombs would come in for a full debut, a teenage goalkeeper. And if Bashley were looking to go on an unbeaten run, well, they went about it the wrong way. Nathaniel Sherborne scored after just 90 seconds, collecting the ball, making a move to the edge of the box and finding the bottom corner. Mike Gosney's penalty made it 2-0 on 22 minutes, although the referee, only he would know what it was for. It seemed to be a little bit of confusion in the box. 3-0 before half-time, Nathaniel Sherborne took advantage of a poor clearance and showed precision finishing from the edge of the box. He scored a hat-trick in the second half. That was after Shane Ayres saw red for Bashley. He raised a hand on an opponent and there was a little bit of a melee before things calmed down. 225 at Bashley Road, the highest crowd of the season for Bashley. AFC Tottenham, well, Sherborne got a hat-trick. He scored a hat-trick there four seasons ago and another one today. He might have had more if his finishing was better from close range, but he was given a gift from the edge of the box from another poor clearance, which he clinically dispatched. Final score, Bashley 0, AFC Tottenham 4. After the game, well, I spoke to both camps. First of all, the victorious manager, AFC Tottenham's Steve Hollick.
I thought it was a very professional performance by the lads. I think it shows in the sort of statistics afterwards, but I don't think Steve Mayfield had a shot to save in 90 minutes. So, from our point of view, very, very pleasing.
It must also be good when there's the story of the week's been about Bashley for you to turn up and score within 2 minutes.
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, it was important that we got an early settled the lads down. So, yeah, it took the sting out of any potential banana skin that we might face today.
You were rampant in the first half, eased off a bit in the second, is that fair to say?
I think, yeah, maybe. I think we went into the first, the second half, you know, we were against the conditions a little bit, the pitch started kicking up a bit, and yeah, it was more difficult in the second half to sort of play a bit more football, so.
Their player got red carded, and then there seemed to be a bit of a melee, people running from all over the pitch to get involved. What was your view?
Oh, I think the lad's a bit daft to get himself involved and, you know, he's let the team down, unfortunately. Maybe it's frustration. You know, it's quite clear that, you know, some of the challenges and stuff that were going in, you know, were a little bit dubious at times. But, you know, it is. They're fighting and scrapping for their lives and things when things aren't going their way. You know, frustration will creep in, so.
I guess no one had been talking much about Tottenham. Everyone had been talking about Bashley. I mean, did that make you just want to go out there and make the headlines yourself?
No, I think it was a nice thing for us. I think, like I say, it's a potential banana skin coming here in the conditions as well. So, from our point of view, to have all the expectation and see if they could get another point or a win was probably a good thing for us, and we could just go about our business in nice quiet and come away with 3 points.
You've got goals in the team, haven't you? And there's probably a bit of competition to be top goal scorer because you've got Sherborne, Watson, Gosney all in double figures.
They are, yeah, and we've been playing really well. I mean, they're really well supported as well. We've had Dylan Knight come back from Forley and he's done tremendous for us. And Mark Lilly's been really patient and deserved his start today. So the supporting staff are doing a good job as well. So, you know, between the top six, it's going quite well.
Mike Gamble not in the squad today. Is everything okay?
Yeah, no, he just had a touch of the flu, so he had the weekend off. He didn't train on Thursday, so he's feeling a bit under the weather. So again, he's, you know, ready to come back in on Tuesday. So,
tell us a little bit about Tuesday's game.
It'll be a tough one. Shortwood, you know, they're a good, well organised side. So they go about their business quite quietly. They don't sort of shout it from the rooftops, but they're up there very, very organised. And again, their place is going to be a difficult game.
That's 6 wins in 9 for you. You're sort of getting back to the form we know you can produce. Tottenham come on back.
Well, hopefully, yeah. I mean, we've gone quite well into the transfer market and obviously got a couple more experienced lads in. And from that point of view, they've really steadied the ship defensively. You know, Pat Wilson and Ian Oliver done tremendously well for us. You know, we've probably got one of the best goalkeepers in the league with Steve Mayforp. So, you know, the early blues of the season where we were conceding early goals, it seems to have disappeared, and, you know, we're going into games a lot more in a positive frame of mind.
And the target now, just to get as high as you can up the table before the season runs out?
Yeah, definitely. And we're trying to use the squad as well in the last couple of games. We're building towards next season now. So, you know, we've got a good nucleus of player. Everyone's sort of given the indication that they're quite happy and would like to stay. So we can start building for next season now.
To make you an offer.
To do what?
To bring down Richard Roper.
Pure Drama on BBC One.
Why do you call him the worst man in the world?
Because he sells destruction. Pain and death, and he laughs.
The deeper you go,
I want to put you inside his operation.
The darker it gets.
Richard Roper must know that you're in the same league as him. Laws don't apply to him, and they don't apply to you either.
Tom Hiddleston, Hugh Laurie, and Olivia Colman star in John le Carré's The Night Manager.
If you step out of line, I will make you howl for your mother.
Starts tomorrow night at 9 on BBC One.
Bashley manager Tom Prodomo, your reflections on the game.
Obviously disappointed with any result where we've gone four down at home, particularly after the highs of a clean sheet on Tuesday. You know, getting a point on the board Tuesday and a clean sheet was two of our objectives for the season, so we were really positive about building on that. So obviously the results were very disappointing, but as ever, some really important lessons learnt along the way.
You don't help yourself when you know, after such a fantastic result in the week, the last thing you would have wanted was to concede so early.
No, that was really disappointing. You know, we come in on a high from Tuesday, and we were very clear on our game plan and how we wanted to start. So I think any early goal in any league is a big factor on the game. So that was very disappointing.
Second goal, a penalty, a bit of confusion, you know, with the, was it a penalty, wasn't it? What was your perspective?
It was difficult to see where I was. You know, I think it's important for us to focus on the ball that's got into the box and things like that. We can work on that in training. I think individual refereeing decisions is something out of our control, and you know, we can't work on that in the week, so we need to move on from it very quickly.
Nevertheless, were you disappointed with Shane Ayres to get a red card?
Yeah, we've spoke about that. We need to show more discipline in that. And I think the whole situation was a little bit unsavoury with the number of players that got involved, particularly with some choosing to run the length or a great distance on the pitch to get involved, which I thought was disappointing. So again, we'll learn our lessons from that, and we'll leave the opposition to deal with their own house on that one.
But we look at a big scoreline against you today, but given the disparity sort of in maybe in the quality of the players or how much the players are paid, it was quite a brave effort really, and you certainly came into the game more in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, I think we showed a lot of courage when we were down at 10 men, particularly without the ball, and it was a little bit liberating for us. I mean, we could get caught up on budgets every week and we'd come out second best. So if we're competing on that level every week, we'll lose all our games. So, you know, we've got absolutely nothing in the bank. So it's, you know, it's not something we can look at too much. We can look at our performance and some of the decisions we made and focus on that moving forward.
Is it a challenge sometimes to stay positive when the team lose most weeks?
I think it would be a challenge to stay positive if we focused on the results. But as we've said, everything at this club now will be a process. And as long as each week we take a positive step on that process, I mean, you have to be quite clever with how you take those steps, particularly when you've lost 4-0 at home. But we were quite clear before the game and at half-time about some things we wanted to take from it. And two of the four things we wanted to take from it we have. And two, we've learned a little bit more about. So I think from that, we can take our positives. And we've got young players who are naturally buoyant for any game. So we just keep feeding off that and be clear on our objectives. And as long as we're ticking off against that, then we can move forward.
There's a game in midweek coming up, so you've got to bounce back straight away. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the game's come thick and fast now with all the cancellations, which, you know, I view as a positive for us. Like I said, with young players, it's a good opportunity to get them straight back into the, you know, the pitch or the learning environment, as we call it, because it's another opportunity to learn the lessons. And I think, back to your previous question, that's how we have been able to stay positive, because it's different problems each week that arrive from us taking a step forward. So our defensive line is moving up the pitch all the time and looking to take pressure away from our goal. Naturally, that puts a little bit of space in behind us. So if we get our pressing slightly wrong, it might cause us some problems. But eventually, as we start to learn and develop further away from our goal, then it will help us to play with and without the ball. So it's kind of the short-term pain for long-term where we want to be.
Bashley chairman Tim Allen. It's been a strange week, hasn't it? You've had all the attention after midweek and then I suppose back down to earth again today.
Yes, it is really. Bit of the same old, unfortunately. But Tuesday night was brilliant. Lifted everybody. Great crowd today. Supporting non-league football, especially when there's a big match just down the road as well.
Your young manager is incredibly positive and you're always a happy chap and positive. Is it sometimes challenging to stay positive?
Well, yeah, sometimes you feel like knocking your head against a brick wall, but you've got to put on a happy face to everyone, mm-hmm. no matter what, because if you're Mr. Grumpy, it goes around with everybody and everyone gets down. So trying to stay happy and positive is the way to look.
Last season, the club were reprieved relegation by the Southern Football League. If they did that to you again, would you think, oh no?
Several people have asked this question, and I think, to be perfectly honest with you, we would rather go down. Might sound a bit weird and strange, but simply due to financial restraints. You know, if you haven't got the budget, if you haven't got the sponsors and you haven't got enough supporters coming through, at this level of football, the finances kill you.
Thanks for that. Now, you see lots of non-league clubs have been in trouble and quite a few of them have got out of it. Does that sort of serve as an inspiration to you that, well, not just non-league clubs, all our clubs in the south, from sort of Saints Pompey and Bournemouth down to all the non-league clubs, have had troubles and have come back? That's got to be something for you to cling on to.
Yeah, that's right. We just need to rebuild and regroup, which is what we've been starting to do this season. Because as soon as the season started and we realised it was zero budget, that was it. It was just a case of making best of what we could do for this year and try and get a squad of youngsters ready for next season. It's difficult. You don't really want to be sort of saying that, but it's the truth.
Bashley chairman Tim Allen. His opposite number, the chairman of AFC Tottenham, is Andy Straker, and I asked him how things are coming along off the pitch at the Stags.
Well, they're coming along. Obviously, it's still difficult. You know, the problems that we had a number of years ago is about stabilising and moving forward, and I think we're moving towards that. We started the season with a stronger squad than we've had for a number of years and actually improved it as we've gone on. So we think on the pitch we can really have a go next season with any luck. We're trying to sign players on to keep them here for next year. Off the field, we work hard with trying to bring in the extra revenue we need to keep us going. So, you know, things are happening. We're deals with Matt Letizia's coaching, which is going to help us in the long run when they feed into our 16s and 18s. Good sponsors like Poulton's, New Century Bingo on board, you know. So it's difficult, but we're getting there, I think, and we just got to keep going, really.
That's got your headlines and people talking about you, the Matt Letizia connection.
Yeah, it has, and there's a lot of excitement around the club. You know, Matt Letizia, Le God or whatever they want to call him, and as soon as people see his name, he done an interview for us, which was on our website. People could see that he actually wanted to be a part of AFC Tottenham by the good things he was saying about us. Speaking to them, they were saying that parents were saying what a great deal for them. So they like the deal. They're excited by it, as we are.
And even though the team's been in the bottom half of the table, your support has been, I think, the third highest on average in the league. So people, you know, the fans deserve a bit of praise, do they?
Yeah, they do. Our support is really good. And it's probably a little bit lower than where it should be. Because we had a bit of a slow start, which I know disappointed Steve Hollicks. But you know, we've brought a couple of players in and we're getting stronger and stronger. And our crowds have gone up and we've been breaking 300 for the last few games at home. If we can keep that going towards the end of the season, see how far we can get up the league, and our crowd stays with us, and we've got an excellent crowd. You know, they turn up week in, week out, and you know, they are happy with what they see. Thankfully, we're going to try and give them something to shout about next season. That's where we need to push on for.
Tottenham's 4-0 win moves them up to 11th in the table. They now have 40 points. Bashley stay on 1 point. Winchester are top of the Southern League South and West with 64 points. The leaders Cinderford didn't play, Winchester did, and in front of 143 beat Burnham 6-1. Zach Glasspool and Warren Bentley scored two goals each. Craig Feeney and Jamie Barron also on target for the Citizens, and Warren Bentley got his 100th goal for the club in midweek. He's only been there two seasons. That's eight wins in a row for Paul Masters' men. Wimborne Town, they were defeated 1-0 at Bridgewater. That's four games since they last won, conceding a goal with 11 minutes to go. They're 14 points above the relegation zone tonight.
This is BBC Radio Solent Sport.
In the National League, it was Eastleigh's big away day with five coach loads of fans going up to Forest Green Rovers, hoping they would see their team get a victory for the first time in 12 attempts. Ian Wilding has the story of the game.
A disappointing result in the end for Eastleigh, but a much better performance. The first half was pretty end-to-end. Forest Green 1-2-1 in the end, and all the goals came in the second half. James Constable gave Eastleigh the lead on the hour mark with a right-footed strike from 25 yards. But Forest Green had other ideas. They pegged Eastleigh back 3 minutes later from John Parkin. And Parkin was there again 3 minutes before the end to make it 2-1 to Forest Green. Forest Green, well, they're the master of late goals. Four of the last six matches they've scored with 5 minutes left to play. And they did it again today. And you can see why they've only dropped 7 points at home this season. For Eastleigh, well, it's 2 months now without a win, but they desperately need to get back to winning ways, starting in 10 days when their next match is at home to top of the table Cheltenham. It finished Forest Green 2, Eastleigh 1.
And after the game, Ian spoke to the manager of the Spitfires, Chris Todd.
Chris, it can be a heartbreaking game, can't it, sometimes?
It can be, you know, and it seems like that at the minute with us. We're sort of in a bad patch at the minute, but nothing's going for us, and today that hasn't happened. But I'm full credit my players, because the performance was very, very good today, and we looked like a proper side, you know, and we were very unlucky not to come away with at least something.
And how encouraged are you by that? Because it looked like the Eastleigh of old out there today.
It did. It really did. And I'm taking all the positives from it, because I have to, you know, because they deserve that, because they've worked so hard today. And really and truly, we should have come away with at least a draw. But I even believe we were the best side on the day and we should have got the win. But that's football. That's what happens.
Great finish from James Constable as well. I know it doesn't mean too much now, but a typical Constable goal.
Yeah, it was. No, he, you know, he's done well, but my whole team done it. You know, Tubbsy has worked his socks off today, and they both played well together, and we've looked like a proper outfit. You know, we really have. And at times in the last couple of weeks, we haven't. I've got all my players back now, and we're strong when we've got all them back. You know, and today we've shown that we're capable of looking the better side against the top team, because they're top of the league. You know, they're there for a reason, because they work hard and they grind things out, and they've done it at the end. But to me, I don't want to speak too much about referees, but I feel like we've been let down a little bit today.
What was your thought on the red card for Ben Strevens?
I didn't really see it. I'll have a look at it, and then I'll address it then and see how it plays out and what it was and this and that. But I'm just disappointed, because they deserve more now today. The players, they were outstanding, and if we keep that until the end of the season, I believe we'll get into the playoffs. I really do.
Funny old goal, wasn't it, as well? The second goal, the winner.
I don't want to speak too much, but I'll get myself in trouble. But to me, it's a foul. But I've asked the referee, and his opinion is that he didn't think it was a foul. If it's wrong and he sees on the DVD and it's wrong, he'll apologise to me. I can only take that as his word, and I'll have a look at it and see it myself. But I can't do nothing about it now. That's done. You know, we've lost the game. If it is a foul, I'd be very, very disappointed.
You say you're confident of getting to the playoffs. You look at the table and it's still very much in your hands. Win a couple of games and you're back in there again.
Yeah, we just got to get back on a run, you know. We've got to win a game of football for starters. We haven't done that for a long time now. And there's been times when we've deserved to win football matches, but we haven't. And we just have to find a way of winning football matches. And whether that's scrapping it out or, you know, sort of hanging on, we need to do that. Today we didn't get the result we probably deserved. But that's what happens when you're in this sticky little patch.
Chris Todd speaking to Ian Wilding. Incidentally, it's 32 league games since Eastleigh last had a goalless draw. Elsewhere in the division, Altrincham 1, Guiseley 1. Boreham Wood 0, Torquay 1. Bromley came from behind to beat Woking 2-1. Halifax 4, Grimsby 2. Aldershot took the lead at Gateshead, but lost 3-2. Kidderminster 2, Chester 2. Lincoln City 3, Southport 1. Tranmere 0, Cheltenham 1. And Welling 0, Wrexham 2. Eastleigh dropped to 10th in the table there, 4 points outside the playoff positions, although they have games in hand on most teams. They don't play now for 10 days, Tuesday the 1st of March, when they are at home to Cheltenham. In the National League South today, Havenham Waterlooville needed a late equaliser to draw 1-1 at Whitehawk, Scott Donnelly scoring with 2 minutes to go. Gosport Borough had a goalless draw at Concord Rangers. Lee Wart did hit the post for Alex Pike's men. And Basingstoke Town beat Maidenhead United 2-1. Liam Enver-Murrum scoring in the 33rd and then the 90th minute for the Dragons. Ebbsfleet atop on 64, Gosport Borough in fourth position on 48 points. Avon and Waterlooville remain 20th with 29 points. Below them, Basingstoke are up to 21st position with 25 points. Avon and Waterlooville know that if they win their next fixture, they could climb out of the relegation zone and above Weston-super-Mare or Chelmsford. Hawks at home on Tuesday to Bath. Gosport also home on Tuesday to Dartford. And then both Gosport and Havant are home again next Saturday. In the Southern League Premier Division, Dorchester had a 4-2 win today at Merthyr Town. Nick Walker, Luke Holmes, Toby Holmes and Liam Sayers all scoring for the Magpies. But there were double postponements elsewhere. Poole Town and Biddeford was off due to a waterlogged pitch and Weymouth and Cirencester was off due to safety issues. But in the clubhouse, the planned presentation of facts about the new stadium proposal still went ahead. So I took the opportunity to ask Chairman Chris Pugsley about today's postponement and first, the new stadium plans.
The announcement today was basically the fact that all the litigation has been concluded on the new stadium and we're now moving on towards hopefully getting permission to build a new stadium and take the whole thing forward.
It's been an ongoing saga. Is it a relief that it seems to be coming to a conclusion?
The conclusion of the litigation has now obviously happened and we've got an option agreement now. It's a completely different ending before. We're actually now running the show with Morgan Sindel, which is beautiful. So we do what they want, they do what we want. So everything is like working in partnership and hopefully in harmony to a conclusion with a new stadium.
What was the reaction of the supporters?
The proper supporters absolutely love it, obviously. I mean, it's a fantastic move forward for the football club. Alan Pepperell, Tony Greaves, Gareth Jones have worked on this endlessly for 3 years. And, you know, to get to where we are now, you know, they're obviously ecstatic as are the proper supporters. You get a few supporters, obviously, who try to sort of knock it a little bit, but they don't really understand what's going on. But, yeah, the main supporters, the proper supporters, are absolutely loving it and appreciate what's been done by the club.
Now, I thought there didn't seem to be too much wrong with the Bob Lucas Stadium, but today you had a postponement with a bit of the stand blew down, did it? What happened today?
Well, it wasn't a big issue, unfortunately. I mean, there was a bit of the main stand got caught in the wind and we had a bit of a gale and the forecast was pretty bad. I mean, it's probably going to be there for the next 20 years if we stayed in the stadium. It's never going to come off. But unfortunately, somebody phoned the fire brigade and the fire brigade said, well, yeah, we're pretty happy with it, but it might come off. And the referee said, well, if it might come off and it comes off and, you know, there's an issue with health and safety, which we couldn't sort of argue against and we've got to appreciate. I wouldn't want to take the responsibility in a way anywhere else. So we'll get it sorted out on Monday. It's not a big issue. It's just a very minor nuisance, really.
I suppose happening so late in the day must have been a disappointment for everyone, especially people that travelled down.
Oh, it's a massive disappointment. I mean, we need the income, we need the money, obviously. I mean, we've got wages to pay, and it's a Saturday game, and Saturday games are better than Tuesday games. And, yeah, it's huge. You know, Cirencester were there, the officials were there. So, yeah, it's an expense to the football club, and it's hugely disappointing, and supporters are disappointed. I was disappointed. But, unfortunately, you know, no one's died, there was no serious injuries, and that's the most important thing.
And does something like this illustrate why Weymouth need a new stadium?
Not at all, no. I mean, the stadium's by far from the worst in the league. I mean, it's just a minor repair. All the roof's needed, that's all. Nothing more, nothing less. I mean, our stadium's still, to say, one of the best in the league. But we want better. And, I mean, you know, unfortunately, because of happenings in the past, we don't own the stadium at the moment. And, you know, we need to move forward and get ourselves a new one.
And when will the club make an announcement about where they would like to locate that?
It's not really down to the the club, I mean, you know, we've got options at the moment, and there are preferred options, and we just sort of now negotiate with different councils and different parties and make it happen, and hopefully we can get something put together and put some, you know, ideas together, and hopefully within the next few weeks, a couple of months, we'll get an application going in somewhere, and we'll look to relocate with a new 5,000 stadium, you know, category, I think it's category 3 or C or whatever they say, you know, which is where we're going to get, which is some leagues of where we are playing at the moment.
And now, how many years away would that come into fruition?
Well, they're looking at sort of 2018, you know, on a good run, so that's the aim.
OK, well, it's certainly a very interesting development, and one, as we say, that's got a lot of supporters excited. We wish you all the very best with that, and thanks for joining us this evening on the Non-League Show.
BBC Radio Solent Sport.
BBC Radio Solent Sport.
Chris Pugsley, Weymouth chairman. Incidentally, Dorchester's victory today takes them up to ninth position in the central division of the Southern League. The leaders AFC Rushden and Diamonds lost 1-0 at home to second place Kings Langley. Hampshire side Fleet Town, who'd won 8-1 away in midweek, won 2-1 away to Chalfont St Peter today. Jack French and Ben White scoring. Petersfield Town's game with Beaconsfield was off due to a waterlogged pitch. In the FA Vars today, Salisbury had nearly 2,000 supporters and are through to the semi-finals. They beat Ashford 3-0, Kane O'Keefe scoring two of their goals. Hereford beat Camberley 3-2 after extra time. Bowers and Petsy and Kidlington drew 3-3 and must replay. Morpeth and Bristol Manor Farm, they will play next week as their game was postponed. Hereford and Salisbury would be a big game at Wembley, but I've heard people say that Hereford and Salisbury would generate more money in a two-legged semi-final than the final at Wembley itself. Isle of Wight Gold Cup. Cowes Sports and Ventnor. That was a 4-2 win for Cowes. And in the Les Phillips Cup, Gillingham lost 2-1 at Willand. In the Western League, it finished Clevedon 2, Bridport 4 and Street 4, Sherborne 0. In the Wessex League, Alsford 3, Forley 2. Andover 3, Blackfield and Langley 2. Bemerton 3, Hamworthy 1. Kevin Brewster played his 400th game for Sholing. They won 2-1 at Bournemouth Poppies. Brockenhurst 2, Whitchurch 4. Bolland 1, Lymington 2. Verwood 4, Fareham 0. And in Division 1, Amesbury 3, Ringwood 2. East Cowes 3, Christchurch 3. Fleet Spurs 5, Romsey 1. Putney Vale 3, Andover New Street 0. Portland United 2, United Services Portsmouth 0. With the rest of the day's scores, here's Alex Jones.
In the Hampshire Premier League Intermediate Cup 6th round, it finished Liphook United 0, Hedge End Rangers 0. Into the Premier Division, Baffin's Milton Rovers 4, Overton United 0, Bush Hill 2, Paulsgrove 0, Coldon Common 2, Clanfield 2, Headley United 0, Winchester Castle 4, Infinity 1, Hamble Club 10, Otterbourne 2, Loxheath 0 and Stockbridge 0, Liss Athletic 10. The game between Fleetlands and QK Southampton was postponed. In Division 1, Broughton 4, Upham 2, Lyndhurst against Andover Lions was postponed, as was Mitchell Merchant Timsbury versus Hayling Island and AFC Petersfield versus Sway. The only other game in that division to go ahead today finished Netley Central Sports 4, 4 marks 0. And in the Dorset Premier League, Bolty Sports 1, Weymouth Reserves 1, Shaftesbury Town 7, Holt United 0. Swanage Town and Hurston 5, Blandford United 2 and Wareham Rangers 3, Murtown 3. In the Cup, it finished South Cheriton United 0, Merley Cobham Sports 2 and Westland Sports 2, Sherborne Town Reserves 3.
Thank you, Alex. The headlines on the Non-League Show. Eastleigh Football Club's big day out at Forest Green Rovers ends in their fourth straight defeat. Havant and Waterlooville and Gosport Borough had good points away from home in the National League South. Winchester City hit six to go top of the Southern League South and West, where in the Hampshire Derby it finished Bashley 0, AFC Totten 4. Lots of postponements elsewhere. Well done to Salisbury in the Vars. Thanks to my friends at Bashley for their hospitality this afternoon. Thanks for Sam for helping me out. And for Ian and for Alex, I'm Cliff Pledge on the Non-League Show on BBC Radio Solent. BBC Introducing the South is next.